League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel in studio. Add another one to the list of wannabe executive producers to the show, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Arian's fetus now decides that because Mark Schlereth does a little tweet about anything in his lawn, just goes out and says, hey, Mark, if you'd like to join us on the show, we'd love to have you. Barry and Joel are the hosts, and you can talk lawns. We and us and okay.
Come on, Arian's fetus.
Where'd that come from? I was about to tweet him and go, hey, I knew while AJ was out, he might have hired a few people that we weren't aware of. I didn't know he made you executive producer. Jeez. Say it again.
Who was it? Schlereth?
Mark Schlereth, yeah.
Schlereth? I thought it was Schlereth.
However you want to say it, I'll go with it.
His yard looked good, though.
Oh, shut up.
The grass was on point. I was like, wow, that man.
The grass was on point.
I wish the turf monster would get you.
Apparently, he said he mows it three times a week. He's got as much yard as I do. Yeah. I mow mine once every 2 weeks. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I need to get on it more.
I mean, you got like, each guy's got a football field. If you just put some lights up, you might be an alternate route for some of the high schools when they have problems scheduling.
Speaking of guys that do, did you see where Dan Le Batard takes the day off?
Yeah.
From radio?
Yeah, we talked about it last week. We talked about the fact that he was not afraid to speak out, not only against ESPN, but speak in a political nature about his disdain for the president and
the passiveness of ESPN. And I believe the term he used in regards to what they do is meat shields, which
tickled your fancy a bit.
That's a pretty
intrigued
good word.
You.
I had to Google what meat shields meant.
So
and now
that,
I know.
Evidently, there was conversations, as it was put in the article, over the weekend between the president of ESPN and Le Batard, and at the end of the day, Dan decided to take the day off.
Hmm.
Because I guess at the crux of all of this is that ESPN has told their talent, and I don't know if this was before or after the Jemele Hill, right?
Yes.
Her deal with the president, that they don't want the sportscasters getting into politics.
Which, I mean,
that's a fine line, man.
It is, because he can do so. So here's the thing, and I hate this. I hate this with the hate of a thousand hates. That's all I had. I hate when I'm on my Twitter. Where I give opinions and about sports and stuff that's non-sports, and I tweet jokes, which, by the way, I got one of the guys had some Maui Wowie at the condo in Tulsa.
Oh, your boy with the plug that you threw under the bus last week. What was his name?
John.
Was it John?
John and Ben both.
Yeah, they're the plugs.
Well, Ben went and got some, and now I don't know what was in it, but I ended up writing the stupidest joke ever, and I loved it. I was like, oh, I wish I could do this on stage. It's so stupid. But I said, if Bennigan's ever comes back, would it be called Beginnigan's? That is the most stoner joke.
Sure, I didn't write that for you? And it just
that is the most stoner joke I have ever written in my entire life.
Yeah, I would have been like, what is Barry doing
and
right
I was
now?
Like, and I, but I even hashtagged it, I'm high. So I wasn't running from it in any way, shape, or form. I was like, this is definitely a stoner joke. And I thought it was so funny. And then the next morning I read it, I was like, Whatever. Anyways, I you know, on my Twitter, I'll talk about politics and I'll talk about the current president or my thoughts on this and that. And I hate when people are like, stick to sports. Oh, like, I'm sorry. As a member of this society, as a resident of this state and of this nation, I can't have an opinion on politics. That's not true. I'm allowed to. And so I think it is a fine line. And speaking of that, we have a great leader in Mr. Gao who allows us
Kiss
to
ass.
Say what we... Man, you like that?
Brown noser.
Suck it, Joe. Suck it, Joe. So, but we have a great leader who lets us be ourselves. And if we want to go on a rant about politics, he may agree or he doesn't agree, but he doesn't stifle us. He doesn't censor us. He lets us say what we want to say here and on Twitter.
Well, and it helps that you're not a flagship home of a team in which, as much as you'd like to say it's just up to David Gao, ownership really has to deal with the team at some point, too, where they try and tell the broadcasters what to say.
Well, but about politics?
About anything.
Well, that would be a station I would have a hard time working for.
I've been the enforcer in those deals. Really? I know how it goes, yeah.
So even on politics, so like if you're like, hey, we're very pro-Trump over here at Team XYZ.
Well, obviously with this
we
president.
We don't want you talking. We don't want none of your on-air people saying anything about Trump.
With this president, it's kind of enhanced everything and put everything out there more in the general public than normal. But it would be to the standpoint of I had to make a call to say, hey, look, as the flagship home of a team, try and not get too opinionated on things that could get a negative feeling amongst the listeners. We don't want to scare away. Oh, it was crazy. A lot of
stuff. I would hate that.
Yeah, it was nuts.
It's like, wait. Time out. You don't get to run our station. But that's essentially what you're saying happens.
People forever thought it was me, and then I had to have conversations subsequently after.
Because it was coming from up
top. Yeah, it was coming from up top, but the other thing was key about it from coming up top was, and don't let anyone know this was me saying this.
Wow, and the crazy thing is you basically neuter the PD and the owners and whoever else at the station, because now those teams are calling all the shots, essentially, on content. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
See how much Josh, just if you ever want that conversation, just ask Josh Dennis about what he feels like having a show on a flagship of a team.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Because he likes to get into controversial
stuff. They came down hard a couple times.
Did they? Yeah. Well, we diverted from my original point. And the original point is you know, just because I have a job in radio and talk sports, I can also have a political opinion. Believe it or not, I'm a citizen of this country, and I have opinions, and I will express those. And I will say this. I had said some things and tweeted some things and lost some followers, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to. I never understood this either. If you don't agree with someone politically, I'm just going to ignore you and not follow you. Never mind trying to understand what your side is or come to a compromise or just agree to disagree and be okay with it. People just like, oh, I'm unfollowing you. Well, bye, bitch. I didn't want you to follow me anyways. I mean, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm just giving my opinion. And we're all okay to do that. And you can argue with me or whatever else. So I just, I feel like it's a slippery slope because he does non-sports stuff on his show. He talks about funny things. They do crazy things. They do stuff that doesn't entertainment based or whatever.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why be like, well, no, we're going to draw the line at politics?
Because they're a Disney company. Because they are the sports leader, self-proclaimed, in this country. And they feel like their obligation, especially with Disney at the helm, is to be as middle of the road as possible, to not lose, like you were just talking about, to try and avoid losing any followers, but gain as many viewers, listeners, etc., by just covering the sports. But even from that perspective, just look at ESPN and how it's evolved in the last several years as a network. It used to be nothing but sports center after sports center after sports center and game after game after game and few things in far and in between. And now the entire morning is filled with not sports center unless you want to go to like ESPN News. Mm-hmm. It's all about opinionated shows and talk shows, quote unquote, that do nothing but give several different viewpoints of every topic.
Now, I don't know if it was before or after, but I am certainly, I think I recall on several occasions when there has been issues in this country that he felt passionately about, I have heard Stephen A. Smith go on his show and talk about those subjects.
I have not. I mean, I would love to support you. I just have never heard of you.
Okay. And so, but again, I preface that by saying I don't know if that was before the Jemele Hill,
right?
You know, incident or whatever we would call it when she got removed or after.
There was several back and forth. Yeah,
but I mean that was a thing. I don't know. I get it. Some people tune in because, you know, when we've had people, if we've gone on to talk about a particular subject or politics or whatever, and people are like, I don't tune in to hear politics. I want to hear sports. Well, you know what? You know what you're getting at this station. You know what you're getting on this show, on the Blitz. Like, a lot of shows here, we don't just do sports. So that's what we, you know, we talk about anything and pretty much everything. And you don't have to agree with it, just like you don't agree with the sports takes. But I think to stifle the dialogue, it really does a disservice to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason why we love doing what we do, and as you mentioned, working at a place like this, as opposed to flight stations that are the flagship home of a team, is because you're allowed to speak your mind. Yeah. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, and we enjoy being able to express ours with you guys and then have great dialogue about it. Now, that's where you draw the line as well, because a lot of people, if they disagree with you, think their first line of recourse is to just take pot shots at us, and that's where we have been known to get a bit frustrated. But we're certainly open to constructive dialogue and back and forth, because that's what this whole that's what the whole premise behind Sports Talk Radio is. Let's just have a discussion. Yeah. You may be right one day. I may be right the other day. Whatever.
I mean, I'm mostly right.
And I figured that was coming. But I think that, you know, more so than anything else, it's, hey, when you're driving in the car, well, I side with Barry, or I side with Joel, or I'm kind of in the middle, and I may want to call. That's what the beauty of this is. But don't crap all over us because we have an opinion.
Yeah. Somebody said, if this is from Mike in the Woodlands, he said, huge difference between voicing your opinion versus your opinion on a national TV program. TV time is their time, not yours. I don't even know what that means, Mike.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, look, these guys are being employed.
It's his show. People tune in to listen to him give opinions on sports and pop culture and everything else. So, but the difference is they're like, not politics. You can give opinions on everything else, like on his show, and they do all the crazy stuff. But they're basically telling him no opinions on politics.
You know what? Like I said, it's a totally different ballgame than it was several years ago. These guys are being hired and renewed on contracts because they have opinions, because they want you to kind of stir the pot a little bit, to kind of get people percolating in the morning and start getting fired up to talk about a subject. Stephen A., just like Skip Bayless, just like Colin Cowherd, like all these different guys. They're there for a reason, and their purpose isn't to be analytical experts to break down the stats and numbers. They are there to create thought-provoking opinions that'll get people talking.
Somebody said, I think sports platforms like ESPN should be about sports. I definitely think you and athletes should have your own opinions, but something like Twitter is the place to do it. I mean, that may be true if you create a 100% sports-driven show. But if you create a show that crosses the boundary of sports into other platforms, into other topics, why would you limit that to, well, you're going to say something that's going to be politically different than what people might want to hear? Oh, okay. Well, my opinion on Yordan Alvarez was something no one wanted to hear. What's the big difference?
For everybody that has that opinion that you just read, there are other people that contact us on a daily basis saying, you guys just lifted my spirits. I was having a crappy day.
Yep.
And your conversation about cat poo or this, you know, traveling the road, whatever the case may be, just made my day. I was laughing in the car. That's why we live for that kind of stuff. Because that's why we're here to do what we do.
No.
All right, we've got more to get to. Again, reminder, 2:30, Adam Schefter from ESPN is going to join us. That should be great as we can get some questions to him about what's going on with the Texans, getting ready for training camp and other things. Little known fact people might not know, Schefty's a huge basketball nerd.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we'll have loves to, him some hoops.
We'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah, so we've got Schefty coming up and lots more fun and games. We can even kick around some more Astros and other things if it's on your mind. Back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's that time of year again where we want to thank you, our loyal listeners, at our 2019 version of the Listener Appreciation Party. I cannot tell you how many people are, like, messaging me asking, what's the deal with the list? How do we get on that list? The honest truth is, I don't know, and neither do the guys, because we haven't been told. So I know the one way to assure your way in is to win one of these spots that all the shows are giving away. So to fill you in, it's the broadcasters, the editorial and management staff of ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap. As we get everybody together for an evening of food from Big City Wings, drinks provided by Coors Light, and who doesn't like some Coors Light? And it's going to be right here at our home, Gal Media, Thursday, August the 15th. It starts at 6:30. We're going to give away a pair of tickets right now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to caller number 14. Caller number 14 at that number gets a pair of tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. Thanks to Collector's Firearms and all of our sponsors, you get to meet all of us as we get behind the give you a behind the scenes look at where we do all of what we do, where the videos are made, all the different areas within the confines here at Gal Media.
You get to see the blue chair where I'm always right.
Poop. No.
No.
You know what? When you were out, I see why you take the blue chair.
It's a good chair.
It's situated very well.
So as opposed to some you of these get other it now. Chairs. Nick gets it. Charlie, John Granato. The only one that doesn't like this chair
is AJ.
Fun go please. Figure.
14. Call number 14. The only difference is Charlie uses a high chair.
Oh, now see.
He's got a little heart, too. He said it on the air. He's finally coming to grips with a lot of things. So we want to thank Collector's Firearms because they are at the corner of Fondren and Richmond. They are loyal supporters of all of our shows. So visit them at collectorsfirearms.com today. But again, the only way to get an invite right now is to listen and win. So make sure to keep listening all week. This week we'll be giving away tickets. You got to be 21 or over to attend because there's alcohol. Invitation only. So good luck.
Get it. Go get it. Let's get Sam's call in here because he wants to talk Astros. Because I do want to get to a couple things, but not before Adam Schefter joins us at the bottom of the hour. I don't want to get too hot and heavy into some of these topics that we still have available. So we've talked a little Astros already, and Sam wants to also talk Astros. So, Sam, what's up?
Wrong show, Sam. That's why it was muted out. But it's still good to have you.
Now, hey Barry, how's the divorce going? Nick, what gay club do you attend to this weekend? And Joe, I want to start a GoFundMe account, man, to see how much it'll take for you and AJ to do a show together. And before you answer that, just a quick question off the wall, man. You know, a while back when the Cardinals got in trouble with the what they were doing with the Astros.
Yeah.
How much sense does that make now that they were doing that, being that, of course, you know, the Astros won the championship? Love the show, guys.
So essentially when the Cardinals got caught the insider that I think was
the passwords.
Yeah, with
they
the
were
passwords.
Using Luno's passwords.
He tapped in and got...
Well, Luno never changed the passwords when he got here.
He left Houston and
He never... So he used the same passwords here that were in St. Louis, and the guy tried it and got into their database, their scouting database.
The Astros subsequently got... The guy actually did... I think he still may be doing time.
I know he got thrown in jail.
Yeah, and the Astros got, an extra couple of picks
because of it? Yep.
So, I mean, look, you can look back on it and say, one way or another, it was wrong. But I don't think that getting those picks and what happened is going to be the reason why the Astros won it 2 years ago. But I do think that it sends a very loud message that, you know, just like a lot of the other ways that people are trying to push the envelope stealing signs, the Apple Watches in the dugouts, the center field cameras, all those different things, there's a limit to how far you can push that envelope, and MLB is cracking back on a lot of people.
Astros got the Cardinals' first two picks in their 2017 draft, so numbers 56 and 75, And the Cardinals were fined $2 million. Now, the interesting thing is you want to see, well, who ended up being 56 and 75? So I'll pull up the Astros draft from 2017 because I don't recall offhand. I'm trying to see here. 56 was Corbin Martin. So the Astros turned the hack into Corbin Martin and J.J. Matavich.
Try
I'm
that
saying
again.
That right.
Say that again.
Yeah, no.
You always hack up all the names.
Who's a second baseman? I do.
Yeah.
He's screw a second you. Baseman from Arizona. So that's who they turned it into.
There you have it. We're going to turn this show into an interview with Adam Schefter coming up next. That's going to be good stuff. So stay tuned. Second half is right around the corner. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the big show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. And, you know, we like to give back to the suspects, and this is one of those great times where we're able to do something like that. Joining us now on the show, he and Adrian Wojnarowski have the corner on the market on tweets and who to follow in social media, because Adam Schefter joins us now on the show, and it is a pleasure to have him, because between the NBA season and the NFL season, and we'll probably get to some of this, the fact that people don't realize that Adam Schefter is a basketball guy, too, and he is sneaky good. So we can get his opinions, and maybe he should start dropping some Woj bombs in season on the NBA as well and get in on that market. But, Adam, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Welcome to The Usual Suspects.
Joel, Barry, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, great to have you. If the only bad thing I can say about you is a Wolverine coming from a Badger background, that would be a good thing. Right off the top, let's talk a little bit about what brings you to the show, Buffalo Wild Wings, kind of getting back to its roots, going back to Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs. They're going to get into all that. And, of course, breaking the news would be you. So tell the peeps a little bit about what's going on at BW3s.
Yeah, well, allow me to go with the news today, if you don't mind, Joel and Barry. Basically, Buffalo Wild Wings, as you mentioned, is bringing back buy one, get one free. Great deal every Tuesday. So Buffalo Wild Wings gets the first one of the season, first one in the NFL season, 1-0 going into the preseason. Buffalo Wild Wings and buy one, get one free is back on Tuesdays.
That's a good deal, and you can get all the details at buffalowildwings.com. And right off the top, Adam, obviously everybody wants to talk about what's going on with the Texans. You've been on top of a lot of the news. Let's start with the biggest question going into training camp, aside from the general manager, and that is Jadeveon Clowney. We've heard that the rift between Brian Gaine and Bill O'Brien got even more heated to the point of separation and then termination over Jadeveon Clowney and keeping him as opposed to getting rid of him. What do you know on the Clowney situation?
Look, I think that they like him and are interested in keeping him, but only at a certain price. And we've seen some big deals go around this offseason to DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark, well north of $20 million a year. And I just don't think the Texans valued him at that level. You got a guy that really was an excellent run defender, which I think a lot of people didn't know. And then he was good against the pass, but the pass rush wasn't enough for them to justify coming up with north of $20 million a year. When they had trade talks with other teams, the only team that expressed any interest in trading for him was the Kansas City Chiefs, and they went ahead and traded for Frank Clark. So they opted for Frank Clark over Clowney, and that left Houston in the position it is. Now, the July 15th deadline came and went without a new deal for Clowney, and so I don't expect to see him until the week of the regular season opener, and then the issue becomes, are they franchising him as a or are they paying him as a defensive end or a linebacker? My understanding is the NFLPA is going to file a grievance on his behalf because the Texans would like him franchised as a linebacker, which carries the tag of north of $15.5 million a year, and he wants to be franchised as a defensive end, which is like 17.1. So, you know, there's money that they're arguing over there. They can't agree there. They can't agree on a new long-term contract. He can't even get a new long-term contract anymore this year. Not a lot of trade interest at this point in time in trading for a guy like Clowney. So, it leaves everybody in a tough spot right now.
You have your ear, obviously, to the street in the entire NFL. What is the thought, the prevailing thought around the NFL when it comes to the Texans and their not having a GM going into the season? What is this? What's the perception by the rest of the league with them doing this?
You know, listen, I think that may be a little overrated in the sense that they've got good, capable people now that are basically giving up that responsibility. And Bill O'Brien's not the guy that's taking on added responsibility. I think a lot of people thought that. But I don't think that's it. I think, you know, in the front office, they're divvying it up. And, you know, the question I have, and I think everybody would be, are they just in a holding pattern waiting for Nick Caserio until after the season? Now, I think it's a fair and legitimate question because the season will be up. They can judge how this year goes and look at these guys and the way they do their jobs and then make a determination about whether they want to go hire Nick next year. And if they do, then they can go do that, and I know that New England can block them at that point in time. But for the time being, they're giving an opportunity to some good, young, deserving people. They'll see how it works out. I don't think it's going to be any more work for Bill O'Brien, which some people, again, have incorrectly assumed that he'd have more on his plate. You know, that's not the case here. It's more work for the other people in the front office. They're deserving of that chance here, and we'll see whether or not they can take advantage of that opportunity.
But, Adam, look at the Brian Gain situation, because everything you basically described was basically Brian Gain, a good young executive getting an opportunity. Yep. You know, his first year he was hamstrung by the fact that he didn't have many picks based on all the debacle at quarterback and trying to get a different quarterback than Brock Osweiler. Obviously, eventually it's Deshaun Watson. But, you know, you talk to people around the team that said they were pretty pleased with the draft. And a very odd timing in all of this that even if Caserio was their guy, let him play the year out. And because there are vital things to be done between now, training camp, and during the season before. And then if you feel like it's just not the right fit, then you move on.
Well, see that. Well, listen, I can't argue with that. And the timing was very strange the way it came down. You don't see GMs let go that time of the year. Look, there has been some instability there, and if you want to take issue, I think you take issue with some of that. They've gone through two GMs in 2 years, less than 2 years. Not many teams do something like that, and so it's unusual. But if this is the scenario that works out for them, then good for them, and more power to them.
Yeah, what do you make of, and we talked a little bit about it on the show earlier, but I wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, it seemed to be a prevailing thing in the NFL, but the Texans placed DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt on the active, physically unable to perform list. You tweeted that out about 24 hours ago now. Thoughts on that? I mean, we've seen some people kind of freaking out a little bit. Not a big deal overall in the NFL, correct?
No, not a big deal at all. Basically, you know, look, when the bell rings for opening night against the New Orleans Saints in Monday Night Football in New Orleans, I'd be shocked if DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt aren't ready. And they know what it's like to go through camp. They know what it's like to get their bodies ready. They'll be ready for that night, and they'll be ready to produce that night. And so, to me, they're doing the smart thing. You know, DeAndre clearly doesn't seem to be fully healthy. J.J. probably similar thing. And so they just want to make sure that these guys are right before they bring them off that published.
Okay, now I want to switch gears a little bit because, like I said, you and Woj are the two guys on social media, and obviously it's a great thing to be in your shoes and have those contacts lined up. But first of all, how many contacts are in your cell phone? And secondly, how the hell long did it take to just compile what must be a maddening VIP list on your phone?
I appreciate it. I'm going down in the iPhone right now. 12,632 contacts.
Oh my goodness!
How do you have any memory left?
I don't know. That's what it's, now. But you have to consider again. You know that I was a single guy for a long period of time. So you know, some of that is a lot of people that blew me off in dates. You know that I was trying to get a hold of.
I didn't know where you were going when you started that comment, but I like where your head's at.
Yeah, you know, a lot of women that wouldn't take my calls. So. You know, that's the good majority of 12,600 plus, that I was trying to take out some woman. But and then the remaining contacts are, some head coaches and GMs around the league, yes.
So when you talk about that, though, Adam, here's the interesting thing that I try and talk to these guys about from my NBA experiences, which is that the guys, the people that are coming to you these days are not just those coaches and GMs. Agents have an agenda too, and they want to get information out sometimes, and they'll come directly to you, and that you for a lack of a better term, but you've become kind of the middleman in a way. You break the news, but you hear from agents just as much as you do sometimes from team people.
Well, again, your job is to have a good temperature on the league and what's going on, whether that's coming from a team, an agent, a player, somebody else. I mean, sometimes news comes from strange places that you wouldn't even imagine. And again, your job is just to babysit the sport and make sure that the things that are happening are being documented on your watch. You know, Woj does an unbelievable job. He's a legend in my mind. I love watching him do what he does. And, you know, my job is to look after football for ESPN. And I feel very fortunate and honored that I get to do that. I love doing it.
Well, I know Joel's going to ask you some basketball questions, but before he do that, yeah. He does that. I did want to ask you your opinion on the Cleveland Browns this year. I mean, it's the big news around the NFL. Everybody can't wait to see it. Are they legitimate in your mind? Are they a real threat?
Well, we're going to find out. You know, listen, I don't think that there's ever been this much hope and excitement around the Browns since they came back to the NFL. And since when have the Cleveland Browns had expectations around them about winning? But they do this year. You know, I think they got the right quarterback. They got the right front office. It looks like they got the right coaching staff. They got the right people in place here to make a run and a move. But there are going to be a lot of people following them. They're still in a tough division. And they're still a young football team. You want to see them do it. Here's the bottom line. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, they are on the right track. They are moving in the right direction. I don't know whether they're going to get there this year. But, you know, they should be competitive for years to come with the current roster that the Browns have built now.
Now, you mentioned that you get sometimes information from unexpected sources. I hope it's not some of these girls that blew you off back in the day. Suddenly they become informants. But I build this thing up because I know how much you love basketball. And I want to get your opinion because everybody knows you as a football guy, but you know the sport. What's your interpretation and your breakdown of the Russell Westbrook trade and what he does coming to Houston?
Listen, I love Russell Westbrook, and I think he's incredibly explosive, and I think the Rockets have been very bold and daring in a good way. But I thought, like, you know, look, it's about stars. And so they have created a window here to compete in an incredibly difficult conference, but they also have given up a lot in the future. So when you're talking about those ones in 24 and 26, which I believe they parted ways with, correct? 24 and 26?
Yep.
I mean, you're not thinking about that now, but they may rue that then. So I'm a little worried long term, but if they can find a way to win a championship now, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. And they got two superstar players. They've got some other good players. I was happy that they didn't get rid of some of their other depth. I like their roster. I like what they've done. I am worried about giving up some of those picks, but if you win now, then you don't care what you give up in the future.
Well, I'll tell you what, we would love to have you anytime you want to join us. We know you're busy and you're on a schedule, but we appreciate you spending some time with us. And again, if you want to follow him, and if you're not already following him, are you really a sports fan? At Adam Schefter on Twitter. Thanks so much for the time, man, and really enjoy your work.
Joel and Barry, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it very much. Have a great day.
There you go. Adam Schefter, ESPN, getting ready for the season. That's some good stuff there. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and get back into more sports and stuff. Don't go anywhere. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if you could hear what I hear sometimes, let me put it that way on this show. Always great to have Adam Schefter, though. That was good. That was fun. And hopefully you guys can appreciate the fact that if we'd have just stuck to just plain football questions, he probably wouldn't have been engaged. But that was funny. That That comment about 12, his contacts.
Over 12,100 contacts.
Lord, man. Dude, you better double back those things up.
How many do you have in yours?
I had like 1,100 last time I checked, but 6,000 or 12,000? No,
he's got 12,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't. How do you see how many?
We have the same phone, so I don't. I can go through and see how many are all here.
Oh God, this is sad. I have 351.
How'd you do that?
1,944.
Wow, oh, yeah. Nick, you're big time.
Well, producers should have more.
They should.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing if you had less than 351. On the left over there, the little three bars, just hit that, and they'll tell you at the top there.
934.
Oh, see, that's not bad.
So you're the biggest loser on the show, Barry.
I'm just the loser on the show.
Oh. What?
I'm just the loser on the show.
All right. Let's get to something else to wrap up the second hour that I was very interested to get your opinion on, Barry.
Okay.
Because we do span the globe for entertainment
the globe.
And other things.
Yes.
I wanted to see if you saw this story about a comedian who decided to reference the now deceased, I guess we would call him a rapper.
Yes, he was a rapper.
XXX. Tentacion.
Uh-huh. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
That was very good.
Thank you. Who was actually murdered, I believe.
He was murdered.
And the comedian decided to use him as part of a joke, and it seems like social media and otherwise, people kind of lost their mind.
Yeah, let's hear the joke first, and then we can discuss what happened. So this was the joke she made first.
Is anyone still mourning XXX Tentacion? He's a rapper who was murdered. He's dead now. He was shot. He was on his way to buy a car with $50,000 in cash, and somebody shot him and took the money, which is very tragic. But I think also it would be a very good Venmo commercial. Yeah. That's the first thing I thought when I heard that. Like, I don't have Venmo. I should get Venmo.
So that was the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then Twitter, Comedy Central tweeted it out. And then Twitter got a hold of that. And his fans found out. And she immediately started getting death threats. And Comedy Central pulled the joke. It became a really big deal.
Her name is Dinah Hashem,
okay.
I believe.
Okay. I had never heard of her before now.
Okay.
So
your thoughts? I mean, obviously it's a sticky subject, and we know and we hear your comedy, but this is something that you do, and I don't think you really reference pop culture on a regular basis like that. But
mine is more.
You might.
Yeah, mine. No, I don't do a lot of. I mean, I talk a little bit about like watching some TV. I do a joke about My Strange Addiction, but I don't have any specific references. But in For me, I think that we're in this overly sensitive culture and people are looking for a reason to be upset and angry. And this joke was never about him. It was about the circumstance surrounding his death. Mm-hmm. And using that as the setup in a joke, because a joke structure is always a premise, which the premise in this case is, if you're carrying around a lot of cash, it'd be good to have Venmo. But the setup is he was carrying $50,000 in cash when he was shot. And the punchline is this would make a good commercial for Venmo, because then no one's going to, do that. So it wasn't about him. The joke was never to make fun of him. It was about Venmo and the circumstance of the $50,000 in cash. So the thing that I was always taught, in fact, Andy Huggins does this a lot, but in fact, last week at the workshop when I was teaching it, I was saying, when you're looking at a joke and you're so ready to be offended and you're so ready to be like, oh, that's just so awful, think about who's the joke really landing on. Who is the target of the joke? And in this case, the target of the joke, and the joke did not land on XXX Tentacion. The joke was about Venmo. and the cash. And that was the punchline.
Because that's what I was going to say. The term that always comes to mind in these situations is too soon. Is it too soon? We talked about at one point when Gilbert Godfrey, I believe it was, made the joke about 9/11. And it was, you know, just a few weeks after the whole 9/11 incident. And you say, is it too soon? Too soon. I mean, and obviously in comedy, a lot of people are like, too soon?
Comedy equals tragedy plus timing. That's what comedy is. It's and so
it's interesting.
But that's like the basic formula of comedy. And so you're taking this joke that she never once said, I'm glad he was shot, I'm glad he was killed. Like it was taking in the circumstance and making a joke about carrying Venmo versus carrying cash. Mm-hmm. And you know, now she's getting death threats and it's gone too far. And I think the troubling thing for me is it's not like she used Mother Teresa in the joke. This was not a good dude.
Right.
This was a man who abused his girlfriend, who beat up his gay cellmate in prison and rubbed his blood on his face because he stared at him, quote. I mean, and bragged about it on a podcast. I mean, there were stories where he broke those plastic hangers over his girlfriend's legs, 30 of them. Do you know how hard you have to hit somebody with a plastic hanger to break it? He had like
nonetheless,
these two.
Yeah, regardless, you just don't do that.
He had these two, and she. This is what she was saying, I think, in the court documents. I can find the details if anybody out there wants to get upset about it. But he had like a barbecue fork and some other barbecue device, and he basically said, "You pick which one I'm going to shove up your
hoo-ha."
Yeah, and then she was like, "Well, I guess the fork." And then he started rubbing it on her leg, on her thigh, like he was gonna do it, and she passed out and she fainted from it. This was not a saint. This was not a great dude by any account. Now, am I saying that his death was justified? Absolutely not. But to run to his defense when the joke wasn't even about him, and to be so blindly upset and to threaten this woman's life over a joke that was never about him in the first place is absurd, and it shows the ridiculousness of our internet culture, because very few people, if they saw her, would actually say anything to her. All these death threats, they're just all online because these are cowards. These are people who hide behind their keyboard, and not like the ones that
right.
talk to us, and we don't get death threats. We get heckled.
Yeah. But a lot of people want to be accepted. And so sometimes they find that if they come to the defense of a guy like this, that there's going to be people, as we've seen in this situation.
If you think that's what's going to get you accepted, you're a dumbass. Not to cut you off, but you're a dumbass.
But what I'm saying is, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you can take a side on something, and all of a sudden, like, four more people jump with you. I'm with so-and-so. He's right.
Wolfpack
blah,
mentality.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
And, online, there's always a wolfpack mentality.
That's exactly
if somebody
right.
says, I'm offended by that. Then everyone else is like, well, me too then. And let's all jump in together and attack her because it makes us feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you 99.9% of the people that attacked her wouldn't say anything to her in person. It's just this wolf pack, overly sensitive internet thing that takes place. And at the end of the day, it was a joke. And the joke never landed on him. And I swear to God, I wish there was enough time for whoever to find every one of the people that threatened her and prosecute, because it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, as a comic, I look at that and think, we're doomed. Doomed to make jokes if that's the case.
And you said that's not something you do on the regular, but no. Did you not put yourself in that position and go, that could be me if I just decided one day to say one joke and people took it the wrong way?
Dude, I've said some pretty awful things on this show. But I'm not going to apologize for it, because I know when I do it where the joke is landing. And if it is landing on somebody, I'm going to stand behind it. But you know what I also don't have is people also don't threaten my life when I make a joke about somebody that they like or about
a team. I mean, your jokes have landed on me and I have threatened your life.
Well,
but that's a
true.
Different story. Nick has too.
It's just awful. I mean,
that's why I wanted to get your perspective on it, because I know it's a hot topic right now. People were talking about it, but look, there's no better place to go than someone that's in that industry to give us a real good breakdown of what you really should be upset about and how you should see it. So there you go. We've got 2 hours in the books. We got 1 hour still to go. That means that the windshield is wide open in the rear view. Two solid hours of broadcast work. If you want to check that out, ESPN 975, and check out the podcast. But we've got 60 minutes on the clock. When we come back, don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.